Okay, so I think my time is starting. We have 45 minutes together, so I'm going to get started while our ushers help a few more people get a few more seats. Maybe if you have a seat open beside you, you can put up your hand, and that helps. So if a seat open beside you, put up your hand, and and you want someone to sit next to you. You have no choice, actually, in this situation, so it's good to see a full room of people who want to talk about strength and courage in prayer. Everyone had a good lunch?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't sound like it. Anyone had a good lunch?
Yeah.
There you go. See, it's a workshop after lunch. Everybody's sleepy, but you have to work hard and nudge the people next to you if they're falling asleep, okay? We're going to work together on this. Let's get started right away because we got a lot of work to do. And what I'm going to do to get started is I'm going to pray. So if you guys can bow your heads with me right now, we're going to pray and ask the Lord to meet us and speak to us and strengthen us and give us courage. By the way, my name is Jason. I get the privilege of serving as lead pastor at Hope Church in Toronto. We planted out of this church in 2013, and God has been so faithful through ups and downs, as you all can testify as well in your lives. He's faithful through ups and downs. Amen? Okay, let's pray. Father in heaven, we believe that we will be strengthened and be filled with courage as we become men of prayer. And I pray in the name of Jesus for this workshop, this next 45 minutes or so, that you would bless it, you would encourage us, you would strengthen us in our time, and teach us much and be with us and empower us, we pray, in Jesus' name. If you agree, you can say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, take your Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to be building on much of what Pastor Robbie shared in the last main session and hoping to give some practical help as we go along as well. We're going to be drawing truth from verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 6. And I want you to know it's truth that's designed by God to equip us and bolster strength and courage in the Christian life. That's what this workshop is about. Strength and courage through prayer. Now, before we get to the text, it's important to know that the scripture uses a lot of illustrations to tell us what the Christian life is like. We have, for example, the illustration of the athlete. You see, the Christian life is like a race, for example. We have the illustration of the farmer, that the Christian life is like, often compared to planting and watering and nurturing crops. But the image and the illustration I'm going to focus on today is from Ephesians 6. It's the image of the soldier, because the Bible compares the Christian life to a war and a battle. A war and a battle that we need strength and courage to fight in. The Christian life is compared to being a soldier on a battlefield. And this is going to be particularly helpful for us as we consider how to grow in strength and courage, not, as we've seen already, strength and courage of our own. That's not what we're going for. We've already seen that last night and today. We're not going for a strength and a courage of our own. We're going for a strength and a courage that comes from God. Therefore, we must be people who find strength and courage by a prayer. In fact, I'm going to show you what John Piper famously said on the screen. He said this. He said, "We cannot know what prayer is for until we know that life is war." And then he says, life is war. Our weakness in prayer is owing largely to our neglect of this truth. Prayer is primarily a wartime walkie-talkie for the mission of the church as it advances against the powers of darkness and unbelief. He goes on to say, it's not surprising that prayer malfunctions when we try to make it a domestic intercom, to call upstairs for more comforts in the den. No, God has given us prayer as a wartime walkie-talkie so that we can call headquarters for everything we need as the kingdom of Christ advances in the world. Okay? So I want you to look at Ephesians 6. I'm going to read starting from verse 10 to give you the context. Now, this is the most extensive teaching of the Apostle Paul, probably through the whole Bible, on spiritual warfare. And I'm going to make note of Ephesians 6:18, particularly, to cap it all off. It says this, Ephesians 6:10. "Finally, Paul says, be strong in the Lord. Remember, not a strength of our own, but a strength that comes from God. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And then he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And then he says this, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, Paul says, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Here's the armor. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So much there. Now, in verse 18, he caps it all off saying this. Watch this. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. All right, so much there. I did an entire sermon series on these verses. We're not gonna do that, all that content now, but I wanted to read to you the context. We're gonna zero in on verse 18, which is pertaining to prayer, because verses 10 to 17, like I said, is Paul's most exhaustive teaching on spiritual warfare and how we fight with strength and courage in the battle. But verse 18 is different. It's not one of the pieces of the armor. Verse 18 is different. When Paul says praying at all times, he's describing prayer not as a piece of the armor, but as the significant thing that must permeate all the other aspects of the armor of God. Prayer is to permeate every piece of armor and the entire suit, granting the strength and courage and power that we need on the Christian life, on the battlefield of the Christian life, standing in the strength that he supplies. So, looking at verse 18 then, let's start with this. Strength and courage fills our lives through, I'm going to show you a few things here, through, firstly, a constant prayer. Constant prayer. Verse 18, Paul says, after giving us the whole armor of God, he says, praying at all times. Now, what does it mean to pray at all times? Well, let's first describe what it does not mean. It does not mean that we are to be continually in a posture of formal prayer all day long. It cannot mean that. It's impossible to be in a posture of formal prayer all day long. Jesus was not in a posture of formal prayer all day long. The Apostle Paul himself was not in a posture of formal prayer. So what does it refer to when Paul says pray at all times? Well, it refers to living in a continual state of awareness. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, no matter what battles you're facing, no matter if it's a time of peace or a time of war, living in a continual state of awareness and consciousness of, listen, our need for God. Our need for God in every circumstance and in every situation. Our need for God, our need for his guidance, our need for strength, and our need for courage. In fact, C.H. Spurgeon said this in his book, Lectures to My Students, speaking to pastors. He wrote this, he's not always in the act of prayer, but he says he lives in the spirit of it. If his heart be in his work, he cannot eat or drink or take recreation or go to his bed or rise in the morning without ever more feeling a fervency of desire, a weight of anxiety, and a simplicity of dependence upon God. Thus, Spurgeon says, in one form or another, he continues in prayer. When Paul says praying at all times, he's not talking about being on your knees all day long, but he's talking about being in this state of mind of my dependence upon the Lord for everything. When things are going well, I still need him. Praise the Lord when things are going well. It's because of you. When things are hard, how much I need him. When I need direction in my life, wherever I am. When you wake up in the middle of the night, anxious about many things. Anyone ever been in that situation? I've been in that situation many days. Eyes open in the middle of the night, can't sleep, anxious about many things that I cannot control. What do? Pray. Pray at all times. When you're in the middle of your work day and you feel like you can't make deadlines and you're feeling the pressure and the stress, what do? Pray. Pray. I'm in a conscious state of my awareness of my dependence on the Lord. When you're on the train, when you're walking down the street, when you're eating a meal, when you're working in the garage, wherever you are, you have this state, this sense of burden in your heart that I can do nothing apart from dependence on the Lord. God, fill me. I need you. I need your guidance in all things. I pray at all times. In fact, it was Martin Lloyd-Jones who wrote this. He wrote, "The impulse to pray may come when you are reading or when you're battling with a text." And then he says, "I would make an absolute law of this. Listen, always obey such an impulse." Where does it come from? It comes from the work of the Holy Spirit. And so the way that we grow in strength and courage, I believe this, and I'm so thankful there's so many guys in this room right now, because this will be the game changer in your life between weakness and strength and cowardice and courage in the Lord. It is praying at all times. So strength and courage comes through constant prayer. Secondly, strength and courage comes through dependent prayer. Dependent prayer, look at verse 18 again. It says, praying at all times, excuse me, notice, in the Spirit. To pray in the Spirit means to pray with the help and the leadership and the power of the Holy Spirit. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, this is amazing. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, and all the resources of God are within you through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And so this means that we are to pray in total dependence on God, the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Spirit, because left to ourselves, we simply don't know how to pray or what to pray for so often. Maybe you can relate to that. In fact, did you know the Apostle Paul says that exact thing in Romans 8:26? He says, likewise, notice the Spirit, what does the Spirit do? He says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And then he says, we do, because we don't know how we ought to pray. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Praying at all times in the Spirit, dependent on the Lord, dependent on the Holy Spirit and his power, even that he intercedes for us. Brian Borgman wrote this. He wrote, "We don't always know how we should pray. Sometimes all we can get out is a moan, a sigh, or a desperate, oh, Father God." The Spirit actually intercedes for us, taking our inarticulate and even confused cries to God, and he prays for us. That is powerful. That is remarkable, that as we seek to be men of strength and courage, not strength and courage of our own doing or our own making, but strength and courage that comes from God. It is remarkable to know that the Holy Spirit of God himself is helping us to pray, is interceding for us in a manner to strengthen us and bolster courage in our lives. But there's also, I want you to see, another dimension to praying in the Spirit. There's a particular way that we can depend on the Holy Spirit in our praying. And some of you may feel like that's a little bit abstract. How exactly do I pray in the Spirit? Well, I want you to see a connection that Paul makes. Paul says in verse 17 of Ephesians 6 that we are to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is, he says, the word of God. And in verse 18, he says that we are to pray at all times in the Spirit. And so I want you to see there's a really powerful and helpful and practical connection there for us. One commentator wrote this: we cannot miss the connection between wielding the sword of the Spirit and praying in the Spirit. One of the most powerful ways to pray in the Spirit is actually to use the words that the Spirit inspired. In fact, I would make this an absolute rule that when you are in your times of intentional prayer before the Lord, whether you're on your knees or sitting in a chair and early in the morning or late at night, that you have the sword of the Spirit in front of you, that you have the Bible in front of you. That's the best way we can learn to pray in the Spirit, is to pray the words that the Spirit of God has inspired. And we know that as we pray God's word back to Him, that the Spirit will be leading us, and we know that we will be praying the very will of God. There's no doubt about that. When you pray God's word, you are praying the will of God for sure. And so Jim Cimbala of the Brooklyn Tabernacle, he described a moment like this in his own life where he was going through a hard time and he was praying and the Spirit of God met him and filled him as he had the word of God in front of him. I'm going to read to you what he wrote, and maybe some of you brothers can relate to a circumstance like this. He said this, he wrote, "Over 8 years ago, I was at the end." Then he says, "I've had many ends. And I've had many infillings of God's peace. But this," Cimbala says, "was a critical moment." He describes the scene as, "I was traveling way too much. I didn't have the wisdom of a slug in making my schedule. I was preaching here, raising money, shortfalls of money, every kind of problem you could imagine. So," he says, "I went to this little room on the third floor of the house I lived in then in Queens, a little attic floor, and I put," notice, "a large print Bible on my lap, and I sat in that chair and I told God, 'I am not leaving until you help me.'" He says, "I spent hours with the Lord. I told him at the beginning, 'I have nothing to say in prayer yet. I need to get faith.'" So notice what he did. He says, "So slowly I read some of the promises of God," and this is his testimony. "Then I got to the place where I began to pour out everything. And oh, sometime in the mid-afternoon, boom, God came. I said to God in that room as if I felt whatever was happening to me, 'What is this? You've helped me so many times before, but what is this?' It was so deep. It was so overwhelming. It just settled on me, and I knew God was going to take care of everything. And the problems that seemed so big to me, now they were like little mosquitoes. I couldn't see them. I couldn't find them." Just a beautiful testimony of how when we stop to take time to put the sword of the Spirit on our laps, and to take time to call on God in dependence, that God so meets us. He meets us so powerfully. I guarantee you, based on the authority of the Word of God, if you come to God and you give time to God and you open your heart to God and you express a heart of dependence to God, God will never leave you there. He will meet you in such a way as to give you courage, in such a way as to give you strength for the challenges that you're facing. And sometimes we've walked away from the time of prayer just too quickly, just trying to go through the motions, trying to do the right things. As Vance Pittman told us yesterday, just get the check mark. We just walk away too quickly, and we have yet to experience the strength and the courage that He is waiting to fill our hearts with. And I got to believe in a room like this, there are men who need strength and courage. I'm telling you right now, I need strength and courage from God in these days. We're going to have an extended time of prayer tomorrow after our church service dismisses, because we need God to do something for us that only He can do. And we're going to call on Him, and we're going to believe that He is going to answer us and fill us with the strength and courage that we need. So strength and courage, it comes through constant prayer. It comes through dependent prayer. Thirdly, this, strength and courage, it comes through varied prayer. I want you to look at verse 18 again in Ephesians 6. It says, "Praying at all times in the Spirit," here it is, "with all prayer and supplication." And so when Paul says that we are to pray in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, He's really calling us to understand and experience prayer at a deeper level. And there's probably a few of us in this room that have yet to experience prayer at a deeper level. A powerful, constant, dependent prayer life that strengthens and gives courage. So I want you to make a note of this. Various ways of praying, and I hope this could be practical and helpful and allow you to experience an infilling of strength and courage in the days to come. We are to pray in many different ways, all prayer, many kinds of prayer. Consider this, generally and specifically. Generally and specifically, notice that Paul uses two different words to describe prayer. First, he uses the word prayer, and then he uses the word supplication, with all prayer and supplication. The first word, prayer, it refers to general prayer, general requests. The second word, supplication, it refers to specific requests. So, general prayers, Lord, I pray for my church. Specific prayers. Lord, I pray for the pastors and elders and deacons of my church. Lord, I pray for this particular decision that is about to be made, that you would give wisdom. There's a difference between general prayer and specific prayer, and both are very significant as we seek to be strengthened and filled with courage, praying with all kinds of prayer. Now, generally and specifically, secondly, corporately and privately. Corporately and privately. Acts 2:42 tells us that the early church lifted their voices, notice, together to God. And what you'll find as you read through the New Testament is that much of the prayer that's described is describing gatherings of prayer. You know, sometimes in our individualistic culture, we tend to think of prayer as only me and God. That's it. But much of the New Testament speaks of prayer as all of us together and God in the corporate gathering. So we need to learn to pray corporately and privately. Let me just plug for your pastor, your elders, the church-wide prayer meeting. I hope that you're in a church that has a church-wide prayer meeting. I hope you're in a church that prioritizes prayer. If you are in a church that prioritizes prayer, you should say, thank you, Lord. If you're in a church where the pastor stands up and encourages you to join the church-wide prayer meeting, you should say, thank you, Lord, that my pastor and my elders are leading us to corporate prayer. And if you're in a church that encourages corporate prayer gatherings, you should go. You should take your family and you should go. You say, but it's a Wednesday nights and it's too late, or it's Thursday nights and it's in the mornings at an awkward time. Do you want to be filled with strength and courage? Or do you want to walk in weakness and cowardice? Lead your family, take the kids and go to the corporate prayer meeting and call on the Lord and seek his face and watch how God strengthens your life. Corporate prayer gatherings, but also private. Now, Matthew 6:6 speaks of praying as a private, intimate time. It's both. It says in Matthew 6:6, Jesus says, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And so praying with all prayer means corporately and privately. Thirdly, loudly and quietly. Loudly and quietly. Psalm 142, verse 1 says, with my voice I cry out to the Lord. With my voice I plead for mercy to the Lord. There are times, brothers, where we have to, and it's modeled for us in Scripture, just read through the Psalms, read throughout the New Testament, particularly in the book of Acts, you will see the church lifting up their voices loudly. Now, some of us are a bit too dignified for that. Some of us, we feel like we're just, you know, we're proper. You know what I mean? We don't want to make a little, you know, make too much noise. But there's sometimes you have to just, whether you're in your private prayer time or you're in a prayer gathering, sometimes you have to lift up your voice and say, oh God, help me. Oh God, I need you. We see that all throughout the Scripture. Loud prayers. Some of us want to pray loudly more than quietly. Some of us don't really want to pray loudly at all. But I encourage you loudly, but also quietly. There are also times when it's appropriate to pray quietly, even silently. Psalm 131 verse 2 says, "But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me." So sometimes these are the most precious times for me. I get up in the morning, and sometimes in the winter months it's dark and I'm sitting there and I'm just silent. Brothers, if you don't have this habit, if you don't have this practice, let me commend it to you to get up before anyone else is up. As the leader of the home, get up before anyone else is up and just sit in silence and say, "Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with strength. Fill me with courage. This is going to be a hard day. There's some obstacles ahead of me." And you can have moments of silent prayer, whispering to the Lord and receiving strength and courage. So loudly and quietly. Lastly, deliberately and spontaneously. Deliberately and spontaneously. Luke 5:16 tells us that the Lord Jesus would withdraw to desolate places and pray, that he modeled planned, deliberate times of prayer. Even the Son of God depended on his Father and drew strength and courage from his Father in prayer. In fact, probably the greatest display of courage and strength in prayer is probably the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's probably the greatest display of courage and strength through prayer. He asked his inner circle to come and pray with him, but they couldn't stay awake. They were tired. They fell asleep. And he went in to the garden, and the Bible tells us, Matthew 26, he fell on his face. He said, "Father, if there's any other way," he's about to go to the cross, "if there's any other way, please remove this from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Sweating drops of blood, ready to accept the Father's will, ready to obey. That is the greatest display of strength and courage that a man has ever lived out on the face of the earth, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a deliberate moment of prayer. But there are also spontaneous moments of prayer. Again, praying at all times. We've already seen this. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." Again, it's not constantly on our knees in formal prayer. We've already talked about this. But it's having a presence of mind of my need for him. So praying at all times with all prayer means praying generally and specifically, corporately and privately, loudly and quietly, deliberately and spontaneously. So here's the question. Do you know what it means to pray at all times? With all prayer. Is that part of your life? Now, I just want you to understand, I'm not standing up here as the expert in prayer. Are there some days, there are probably many days where I'm leaning on the flesh, I'm leaning on my own wisdom, but it's in those days where I fall flat on my face and I realize, man, God never fails me when I go to him. I've known this to be true. Lord, help me to obey and pray at all times with all prayer. I pray that the Lord is strengthening that resolve in all of us today so that we could be men of strength and courage through prayer. So constant prayer, dependent prayer, varied prayer. Fourthly is this, a watchful prayer. Watchful prayer. Notice verse 18 again. It says, "Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication." Watch this now. "To that end, keep alert." Keep alert. Now, because the context of Ephesians 6:18 is a spiritual battle, it's a spiritual war, it's spiritual warfare, the exhortation to keep alert makes so much sense. Imagine a battlefield. Just kind of picture the scene. Imagine a war zone. Would you find any soldier falling asleep in the midst of the battle or not paying attention in the midst of the battle? Of course not. Of course not, because they know that the stakes are so high. There's literally bombs dropping. There's bullets flying. We're in danger. This is how the Apostle Paul describes the Christian life. You're in a battle too. You may feel like it's peacetime. You may feel like everything's okay. But remember what we read in verse 12. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We have a real enemy. We have an adversary. And what is he doing? He is scheming. In fact, in 1 Peter 5, Peter says that we have an adversary that is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. That means, what does this mean? It means you and I cannot sleep. We must be watchful in prayer. We must be awake in prayer. We must be alert in prayer. Because just when you think everything's going smoothly, the devil is just standing right behind you, sneaking, scheming. He's plotting something, and he's smart. If you think the enemy is not smart, you're not smart. The enemy is smart. He has great but limited power. Our God is greater, amen? Amen. That's why we must pray, and that's why we must pray watchfully and in a manner that is alert. Colossians 4:2 says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Now, C.H. Spurgeon said this. He said, to pray and not to watch is presumption. He says, you pretend to trust in God, and yet you are throwing yourself into danger, as the devil would have had Christ to do when he tempted him to cast himself down from the pinnacle of the temple. If you pray to be kept, then be watchful. Prayer without watchfulness is hypocrisy. And so watchfulness, the quality of being alert, aware, disciplined. And in a battle, who has to be the most alert and aware? The commander, right? The leader, whatever the rank is, there are people following people. There's ranking structures. Like the guy on top, the leader has to be most aware. So that tells me, as the leader in my home and as a pastor within a plurality of elders in our church, as a father, as a husband, I don't have the luxury of falling asleep. I must be alert. If I want my wife to be alert, she has to see me alert. If I want to teach my children to be alert, they have to see an example of what it means to be watchful and awake and alert. As a pastor, if I want my members in my church to be alert, I need to teach them what it means to be alert. That's why I say every first Sunday of the month, we pray. We pray. Wake up, church, wake up. We're not taking a break on this. We're not falling asleep on this. I know you're going through things. Some of you are falling asleep. We're not going to fall asleep. See, if the pastor falls asleep, if the elders fall asleep, the church is gone. Right? They're gone. They're scattered. And so every first Sunday of the month, we're praying. Church, we're praying. We got a big decision to make, something in front of us. And so right away we say, calling the church to pray this Sunday, tomorrow after the service. You have to be dismissed. The rest of us are going to stay. We're going to keep worshiping. We're going to call in the name of the Lord, independence, because we want to be alert and watchful. There's some big things happening here. We need the Lord. And so the leader must be watchful. Must be awake. And you, brothers, as you remain alert and watchful in your Christian journey, you will see your family filled with strength and courage as you are filled with strength and courage as well. And God is glorified in that. Glory to him in all of this. Amen? Amen. Strength and courage, it comes through constant prayer, a dependent prayer, varied prayer, watchful prayer. Finally, this persevering prayer. Persevering prayer. This might be one of the hardest ones for us because we live in a society that does not value perseverance. It does not value longevity. We live in a society where it's a video-obsessed society. You can't even watch a three-minute video. It's too long. You can't persevere for a three-minute video. It's like you're scrolling down YouTube. You're like, 3 minutes? No. 2:41? No. 1:13? That's a good one. Right? We can't even endure. But this is the nature of the Christian life. He says in verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert. Here it is. With all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Now, A.W. Tozer wrote the following. I'm going to read it to you. Dr. Moody Stewart, a great praying man of a past generation, once drew up a set of rules to guide him in his prayers. Among these rules is this one. Pray until you pray. He says, he often likened a time of prayer to a church service and insisted that many of us close the meeting before the service is over. He confessed that once he arose too soon from a time of prayer, started down the street to take care of some pressing business. He had only gone a short distance when an inner voice reproached him. Son, the voice seemed to say, did you not pronounce the benediction before the meeting was ended? He understood and at once hurried back to the place of prayer, where he stayed until the burden lifted and the blessing came down. The habit of breaking off prayers before we have truly prayed is as common as it is unfortunate. Often the last 10 minutes may mean more to us than the first half hour. If when we come to prayer, our hearts feel dull and unspiritual, we should not try to argue ourselves out of it. Rather, we should admit it frankly and pray our way through. This idea is found in practically every great praying saint, from Daniel to the present day. We cannot afford to stop praying until we have actually prayed. Now this, brothers, I would suggest to you, is where we fall short of being men of strength and courage, supernatural strength and courage. I don't want a strength that comes from myself, do you? We need supernatural strength. And I think we need to look at our lives and we need to look at our schedules. We need to look at how and why we do things and we need to look at our prayer lives and we need to slow down. And when you come to pray, you need to get that smartphone as far away from you as possible and you need to set up a time and a place and have a plan and you need to sit and persevere. And when you pray and when you ask God for things and he doesn't answer the way you want, we need to remember that Jesus gave us a parable in Luke 18 about why we should not give up in prayer. The parable of the persistent widow. I'm not going to go into it now, but there's so much truth in Jesus' words. Just because something doesn't go your way doesn't mean you have to doubt the wisdom of God and walk away discouraged. No, we can understand that our Father knows our needs. If he closes one door, he's going to open another. Persist. Persevere. I know it feels discouraging sometimes, but if we can press through, if we can learn to pray until we have actually prayed and have the sense that God has met us powerfully, that we have poured our hearts out to him, then and only then we will experience a strength and a courage that maybe we've never experienced before. And this is probably the most exciting thing to me as I consider a room like this and I consider tomorrow morning when I get up. Lord, maybe tomorrow is a day that I experience you in prayer like I've never known you before. Maybe tomorrow when I get up and I set aside time, see, you're not going to disappoint me. You never leave me. You're going to fill me. And with each passing day and increasing hunger and dependence, Lord, let me know you and experience you today more than I've ever known you or experienced you before. Persevering prayer. Don't give up. Don't get bored. Discipline your life if you want to be filled with strength and courage. You want to be filled with strength and courage? Prayer. Constant prayer at all times, dependent prayer in the spirit, varied prayer, all prayer, watchful prayer, keep alert, persevering prayer. How about we take a moment right now to do just that? In fact, what I'm going to encourage you to do is just turn to a brother next to you, and we have 5 minutes left. Turn to a brother next to you, whether you know them or not, it doesn't really matter. Turn to a brother next to you and just pray for that brother, that he would walk into tomorrow and the next week and months and years ahead and be a man of constant, dependent, varied, watchful, persevering prayer. And then I'll wrap us up in about 3 minutes. Okay, let's go ahead and do that right now. So Father in heaven, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you delight in us and want us to abide in you. And I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would work by your Spirit in all of our hearts, that we would be men who abide in Jesus, delight in Jesus, know Jesus, bear fruit for Jesus, and experience the strength and courage that you have for us in whatever we are facing that's in front of us. We love you. We need you in Jesus' name. And if you agree, you can say amen. 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 Thanks for being here, brothers. Next session is 2 o'clock. All right, 2 o'clock. We'll see you there.